Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome, everybody, to the Fantasy Football Podcast on 929thegame.com. I'm Brian Gephardt, along with Bo Johnson. And Bo, the playoffs are here, my friend. This is what we play for, week 14, right here. This is it. We're here.
This is it. I feel like the theme of Rocky should come on like right now and like dun, 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 dun. I want to run up to some stairs and... Yeah, man, how'd you do? You got some teams in the playoffs, or are they meaningful for you?
I'm ready to roll. Yeah, there's only one league I'm not in the playoffs, and that's one I ironically have James Conner in, and I'm trying not to be in last place just because it was just everything that could have went wrong did go wrong. But that's the crazy thing about today. I mean, we record this podcast, like we tell you guys, on Tuesday afternoons, and we typically don't have a lot of injury information, but there's already big injury news out. James Conner officially out. And the fact that he's ruled out this early in the week almost makes me think this could be a multi-week injury for him. Looks like it's a high ankle sprain. It's not we're not sure exactly what it is so far, but Jalen Samuel is a name that you have to know and get yourself acquainted with. But as far as playoffs go, yeah, I'm in a buy. I got a buy in the 92.9 league, and I think every other one I'm first round ready to roll. I'm like a 3-4 nice. 5 seed somewhere around there. How about yourself?
I have 6 total playoff teams out of 10. So, you know, 60%, and I have 2 first-round buys out of those. I think I finished 5th in the 92.9 league, so I have to play this week. But I am not afraid. We are going to advance. I might see you in the finals there.
You're ready to roll. You've been on the up-and-up, right? You've been playing pretty well the last, 4 or 5 weeks.
The Melvin Gordon injury hurt me, but I beat Campbell last week without Melvin Gordon. So, Chris Carson is the guy that I had to plug in there. Chris Carson doesn't have the best matchup in the world. I do not have Justin Jackson or Austin Eckler, so I'm relying on Melvin Gordon playing this week. Outside of that, I got a pretty good team, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I'm James Conner being out is a killer for me. Anyone who heard that beep, we're in Knox Bardeen's office right now. He's our social media guy. He makes everything happen as far as Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all those good things. And speaking of which, follow us on all those platforms there as well. But I'm just looking forward to these games really meaning something. I mean, I know a couple leagues. I play in one 10-man league where we have one more regular season week left, and they only play 4, which I prefer. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about 10-man leagues having 4 playoff teams versus 6? Because I hate having 6 playoff teams in a 10-man league.
I don't mind it in a 10-team league. I mean, that's still 40% of the league. It's almost NBA-esque of how many teams make the playoffs. So I don't mind 4. I actually like the format of having 4 teams in the playoffs and playing the Super Bowl over weeks 16 and 17 in a league like that. That way, one fluky week, positive or negatively, doesn't derail a Super Bowl for a team, especially if you're playing for candy bars. You know, if a Michael Thomas has a 8-point game and you lose in week 16, should that mean that your fantasy week should be over? Go back at it at week 17, do a 2-week combine. Now, you can really only do that in 10-team leagues unless you go 4 teams in the playoffs out of a 12-team league, use 16 and 17, unless you were to finish the week, you know, the season early. But
I need more out of Michael Thomas, by the way. I'm glad you brought him up.
I think you're going to have that this week versus Tampa.
I need it. I need a big –
especially coming off of a fluky loss, too.
I need, like, a first 8-week throwback Michael Thomas. I'm a boss, like, one of the best 3 wide receivers in the league game. Okay.
Because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, since 3 weeks ago, I think they have gathered – well, I mean, Cam Newton gave him, like, 4 interceptions yesterday Sunday.
Was he tough.
But before that, they had only had 2 interceptions on the season, and they just got those 2 weeks ago, something like that.
Actually,
they're not very good.
You bring up Cam Newton. We've talked it's one of the things I have jotted down here. I mean, outside of Christian McCaffrey, are you starting any Panthers right now? I mean, if you can avoid Cam, he's been bad.
Yeah.
And I don't think – and I honestly think a lot of it is the injury, the shoulder he's dealing with. I mean, throwing 4 interceptions, it could have been 6. I don't know if you saw any of that game, but the highlights, he was awful against – what is one of the worst defenses in the league. So I don't know if I can trust him. I've got him in one league heading into the playoffs, and I'm debating whether to play Baker Mayfield over him, and ironically they play each other this week, but Christian McCaffrey is the only guy I feel comfortable with right now starting on the Panthers.
I would tend to agree with that. Depending on the matchup, you know, you can kind of go with some of the receivers, but they had that matchup this past week and he did nothing for you. What's a shame about this, and that's how quickly a player can turn around, and you never know, Cam might tear it up this coming up weekend. Only a month ago, you might be saying Cam Newton was in line to maybe be the best quarterback of the entire fantasy league because he was starting to tear it up again, you know, heading into like weeks 10, 11, 12. So kind of crazy how you can just kind of fall off the edge of the planet, the face of the planet there as far as fantasy goes in like 1 or 2 week time. So,
I know you got a couple other guys injury updates listed. We have, I think, one or two more guys even ruled out for this week. What do you got over there,
Bo? San Francisco 49ers running back, backup running back Matt Breida is also being ruled out this week versus Denver. He is already not starting. Jeff Wilson is the third string running back, or what he was, his backup. He's the next man up. In Breida's absence, they tried to play Breida on Sunday. He did not last the entire game. He's got a leg injury also. Jeff Wilson comes in, 15 rushes for 61 yards. He adds on 8 receptions for 73 more yards. No touchdowns, though, but, you know, you can't chase touchdowns anyway. He gets you 11.4 points in a backup effort. That's only 3 quarters. So you got to like Jeff Wilson as Breida's backup. Go out there and see if you can get him. Colt McCoy for the Washington Redskins. Out for the season. Enter the Sanchez. Yes, yes, folks. Mark Sanchez is still employed in the NFL. He plays for the Washington Redskins. He was signed about 2 weeks ago. And he's going to be your starter for the rest of the season, more than likely. I don't think that this is anything that you're going to go pick up Mark Sanchez and try to save your fantasy season or try to advance in the playoffs. But
don't do that.
As far as the Redskins receivers go, they weren't very trustworthy as it were, and you probably didn't make it to the playoffs with any Washington Redskins receivers in your starting lineup. As far as Chris Thompson and Jordan Reed, though, I think it might actually do a little bit to boost their productivity. I don't like Adrian Peterson going forward because he's not really using the pass game. And if you want to say, but what about the 90-yard touchdown run? Adrian Peterson got the longest touchdown run of the NFL season on Sunday, 90 yards, and didn't finish over 100 yards rushing.
Ugh.
Brutal. That's how fluky like plays like that can kind of misguide you, mislead you into thinking that a player is having a – he did not have a great week. He had one great play. All right, but I do think that Chris Thompson, Jordan Reed might see a little boost from this. As you know, with quarterbacks who aren't very good and get pressure on them, they tend to dump the ball off. That's what Jordan Reed is. That's especially what Chris Thompson is moving forward.
I'm right there with you with Mark Sanchez, as the joke was with him. I'm not really sure if he's getting a paycheck. We're not officially confirmed on that. I know he has a jersey and he's taking snaps and throwing the ball. But yeah, it downgrades everybody. I think the one guy in a desperation play, you know, if you're the Connor owner and maybe you own Breida and other running backs are banged up or whatever it might be in a PPR league, Chris Thompson isn't the worst play. And they have the Giants this week who are obviously not very good on defense. But AP, I don't like him this week because he's really their only weapon at this point. Yeah. And to say that AP is your only weapon at this point
Chris Thompson's been okay in PPR.
Well, but I'm saying like he will be the focal point in the Redskins' mind of their offense. So the Giants, even as bad as they are on defense,
keeps the ball out of Sanchez's hands.
One thing they're going to do is shut down AP. So you probably will have, like you mentioned, a lot of those dump off passes to Chris Thompson and potentially Jordan Reed as well. But Thompson, in a desperation, I think it's not a terrible flex play this week.
So in other news, a couple more players that were likely done for the season. One of them definitely. A.J. Green is probably done for the season. Hasn't been placed on IR. Same toe injury that he went into the week nursing. Re-injured it. I'm not going to go out of my way to replace A.J. Green with another Bengals perimeter receiver, mainly because of Jeff Driskel. All right, Tyler Boyd, you probably already have. Tyler Boyd plays out of the slot. We've already seen A.J. Green go down. This might actually reduce Tyler Boyd's effectiveness because now they know who they can target in secondaries. And once again, Jeff Driskel. So I wouldn't go out of my way to replace A.J. Green with anybody on the Cincinnati Bengals. Tyler Boyd, you can still probably roll out there. If he got you this far because he's had a good season, you know, you may end up having to start Tyler Boyd. He's the only Bengals receiver I would probably even go near starting. And then Christian Kirk was placed on the IR yesterday for the Phoenix Cardinals or Arizona Cardinals. Chad Williams is the next perimeter receiver that's going to be up. Larry Fitzgerald plays most of his routes are run out of the slot these days. The perimeter receiver that will be replacing Christian Kirk getting any work there for the Cardinals, his name is Chad Williams. But it's not likely that Christian Kirk was starting every week for you, maybe in the flex if you got this far or to the playoffs. So we'll see. Chad Williams, a name to keep on your radar.
What a terrible football game coming up there on Sunday. Lions in Arizona against the Cardinals. I mean, I know Falcons-Packers is a miserable matchup too, but at least it's got some fantasy relevancy to it. The other thing you mentioned with the Bengals too, they got a tough matchup. They're going against a red-hot Chargers team in L.A. coming up this week. So if you have to start Boyd, do so. But besides that, you know, you're avoiding everybody else on that roster. And
so I do have some fantasy relevancy for you here for this this game coming up versus with the Cardinals and the Lions. And it's going to be the Detroit Lions defense. Let me see if I can pull up the team that I have the Detroit Lions defense on.
And as he does that, I will stall like this.
Lions defense over the next 4 weeks, all right, which goes through your Super Bowl. Arizona Cardinals this week, Buffalo Bills next week, Minnesota Vikings, which sounds scary, but they really aren't on offense. Kirk Cousins threw the ball like 50 times on Sunday and managed 200 yards through two interceptions. They're not especially scary right now. And then you got the Green Bay Packers, who are just falling apart miserably. It's not really the fault of Aaron Rodgers, but Aaron Rodgers is taking the brunt of it as the quarterback. So, you know, I would definitely play the Lions defense versus the Green Bay Packers too, because you're going to have Darius Slay on Devontae Adams, and what else is Aaron Rodgers going to do with the ball?
One other quick piece of breaking news here. Giants-Redskins coming up. The running backs are upgraded a little bit for me here. Landon Collins is actually out this week. He is the Pro Bowl safety for the Giants. He's got a shoulder injury, so that does boost AP a little bit if you have to play him, and it does boost Chris Thompson a little bit for me there as well, because he's the best player that the Giants have on defense. One other noteworthy thing before we get into what had happened was Packers fire Mike McCarthy, and I just feel like the Packers are going to be kind of good down the stretch for no reason, just because there was a weird relationship between Rodgers and McCarthy. I think Rodgers is going to kind of go out of his way to play against a what we know is a banged-up Falcons team and not a very good Falcons team right now. That game is in Lambeau. He's going to want to prove a point without McCarthy. They are on the road at Chicago next week, so not the best matchup. But Week 16, Fantasy Championship, they're at the New York Jets. So I really like Rodgers. If you've been down on Rodgers, two of the next 3 weeks, I think he's going to light it up.
So what had happened was this week, and I'm going to go ahead and get this thing rolling with a sincere apology if you took my advice on this one. But if you took Brian Gebhardt's advice and mine a little bit, mostly his, the entire season, you probably would have not listened to me on this one. But I thought, man, if there's ever an opportunity for a freaking player, if there's ever an opportunity for a backfield to have a great game, it's going to be this week. Don't even remember who they were playing. Deion Lewis, I said, was going to be on fire this week. He was everything but on fire. He was definitely all fizzle. Six rushes for 36 yards. My apologies on that one.
I just can't trust the Titans.
Done.
You know who they played?
D-O-N-E, done.
You know who
those.
They played?
Those guys.
The Jets.
The freaking J-E-T-S. Jets. That's who it was. Who
down.
Had like the 31st freaking worst rush defense in the NFL. And the Tennessee Titans still can't capitalize on that? Done.
I had a really interesting week as far as what had happened was, and told you so. So what had happened was all my fire picks were wrong. And we'll get to all my ice picks being right and told you so. But DJ Moore, he was a fire pick for me. Cam Newton was awful in this one. We talked about this a few minutes ago. He threw four interceptions against the Bucs defense. Three were by Adams, the guy in the secondary there. He had a hat trick as far as interceptions go on the day. But DJ Moore, only four catches for 44 yards. He had two carries for 21 yards, so it wasn't god-awful, but he was really bad and didn't pay off for you this week if you played him in a flex.
So what had happened was I told you to sit Nick Chubb. I thought Nick Chubb was going to be on ice. He only has nine rushes for 31 yards, but he does find the end zone. Then he turns around and gets three more receptions for 41 yards. He totals 16.2 points. It's not a week that probably won you your week, but he definitely helped you get there. So I told you to ice Nick Chubb. My bad. That's what had happened was.
My next what had happened was is a running back who I was high on, and just each week he's starting – I just hate him more and more. And that's Jordan Howard. Just meh. I mean, it's just – he's just so uninspiring. And each week Tariq Cohen looks more explosive and more explosive. I think he had, Tariq Cohen, that is, like 10, 11, 12 catches, something like that, for 162 yards. I mean, just making all sorts of plays out of the backfield. But Jordan Howard is not the most explosive guy. He's not anywhere near like a LeGarrette Blount or a Frank Gore or that type. But he pretty much is a plotter behind, because this is a mediocre offensive line, and they've got Chase Daniel at quarterback right now. And with him only being a kind of an above average type of a talent, he's just not a great play going forward. He had 16 carries for 76 yards. So again, didn't crush you, but definitely didn't help you win your week either.
So what had happened was I had another ice play. Now let me explain myself on this one, because this is a situation where I did not take my own advice. Josh Gordon was going up against Xavier Rhodes in a pretty bad matchup versus the Minnesota Vikings, especially with the way that Tom Brady has played this season. So I had a situation where I was going in. If I get a win, I get a first-round bye in a league. All right, it's a league with a quite a few candy bars on the line too. So I have Josh Gordon. I have Stephon Diggs. I know that Josh Gordon's going up against Xavier Rhodes because I said so right here on the Fantasy Football Podcast on 99thegame.com. All right. Stephon Diggs comes into the week with a banged-up knee. He had some swelling in the knee this previous Sunday, questionable all throughout the week, practices very little, but is active on Sunday, going to try to play through it. Xavier Rhodes, ironically, has a very similar injury, but his is a hamstring, doesn't practice all week, game-time decision. Luckily for me, they're playing in the same game as Josh Gordon, as it was the Patriots versus the Vikings. So we get to these game time decisions. Both Xavier Rhodes and Stephon Diggs are like, they're active, gonna try to play through it. That right there to me says they're gonna play, but they might not play the entire game, or they're gonna be on some kind of goofy snap count or something. Mm-hmm. I went ahead and played Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon goes 3 receptions for 58 yards and a score. Stephon Diggs does nothing. All right, so I ended up winning the game off of Jordan Reed's 2.1 point performance on Sunday Night Football. 2 receptions for 21 yards. It's not a PPR league. One of the last one of those left on the planet. I win this matchup 88.2 to 87.4 by less than a point. Now, had I started Stephon Diggs instead of Josh Gordon, I lose by like 8 points. Yeah. So what had happened was I told you to ice Josh Gordon. He only got 3 receptions for 58 yards. He is saved by the late touchdown. There you go.
Fantasy football is weird. I mean, doesn't that just prove it right there? And shout out to people. You got one standard league basically left?
Yeah, yeah.
Me too.
It's a standard league. Look, it's a 12-man roster with 8 starters. So you got 4 bench spots and no IR.
Okay.
So I've got Breida on that team. I can't stick him. He's already ruled out, but I can't stick him in an IR. Yeah. I've got a couple defenses on my team that I want to go into the playoffs with. I'm having to drop one of those to try to pick up Samuels. It's a tough league to be in.
I hear you. I still have my home league, my main league or whatever, where I'm the commissioner. It's still a standard league. I'm a stickler for that. I'm stubborn, and I like the old school thought. But, you know, it's PPR leagues are what's up in 2018.
I agree, and PPR is kind of the way that the whole industry has gone, as, you know, Yahoo and ESPN's
that's their new standard
game is PPR, and then the non-standard game is just non-PPR. This is what I kind of came up with over the weekend and actually on my way to work on the train this morning. How about in PPR leagues, if you're going to give a receiver a point for a reception, how about a negative point for a drop?
Yeah, I like it, Bo.
It's one of the most subjective things in all of sport is the catch versus the non-catch. And a lot of these are ruled catches or drops by the hometown scorekeeper. So there's a little bit of fuzziness there. But in a PPR league, if you have a player that drops 3 balls, that should be negative 3 points. I would like feedback on that. You like the idea? I think it's a great idea.
Well, like, okay, all right, so we're kind of going off on a different tangent here. But, I mean, if you're going to have PPR, then quarterbacks should get a fraction of a point for a completion because they're the ones throwing the ball for the people. I mean, then you should have points for if you get 10 completions, if you get 15 completions,
well,
20 completions.
And you can set bonuses
whatever
like
it is.
That in your league.
I know,
anyway.
Which I hate, but then it gets all muddled. Then it's a circus act.
Because then you got guys like my co-commish Tommy, who does listen to the podcast. Shout out to you, Tommy Clark. What's up, man? Who want to do like a point per rush.
Yeah, okay.
Like you have to do nothing to get the ball from the quarterback.
But I'm with Tom. I'm not saying you should do a point per rush. But, okay, like my next guy, my last what had happened was, we'll get that out of the way, Josh Adams, he did exactly what I told you he was going to do. 20 carries, 85 yards, but he didn't score a touchdown, so it made me look like a fool. 20 carries is a lot of carries, so to me, I think 10 carries might equal a catch as far as skill goes. Because you're taking 20, I mean, by the time you have 20 carries, you're getting tackled 20 times versus, you know, Nyheim Hines, who goes out on a 5-yard out route
and then goes out of bounds,
catches a swing pass and jogs out of bounds for 3 yards. Like, what's spectacular about that? I mean, down the field, if you have some one-handed OBJ type stuff, great. Or if you catch one across the middle and get smacked, awesome. But so many of these running backs are – like, we're talking about Chris Thompson as a relevant running back in fantasy because he's going to catch seven swing passes because they have no down-the-field threat, and they've got Mark Sanchez at quarterback right now. But he's probably going to outplay Jordan Howard this week, which is outrageous. I mean, it's just – it's nuts.
I can understand.
It gets me fired up, Bo.
I can see. I can tell. I love it, man. You can see his face is all freaking
red.
Oh,
I hate it.
I can see that, but it can't be as much. You can get beat up all you want to, but it still takes more skill to catch a ball flying through the air.
I will agree on that.
Take a ball from now to hold on to the ball getting hit. That's a little bit different of a story, too, but a lot of receivers, most receivers, have to deal with that also. I can see maybe a tenth of a point or something of that nature.
All right, one more thing before we get to the told you so. See, for me, yards are yards. So if you have one catch for 85 yards, that's the same. I mean, so that person, so say they don't score a touchdown. You have one catch for 85 yards. Yeah. Probably the biggest play of the game in a regular football game, right? And then you've got another guy who gets four catches for 60 yards. He had 25 less yards, but he gets 2.5 more points because he caught more balls.
Yeah.
Ah! It drives me insane.
Which is why we should.
It drives me insane because in real
football,
close to real football. Because what's the point? I mean, I would rather be the guy who had the 85 yard catch than 4 for 60. Like, it just.
I would rather. I kind of like the non PPR scoring better. I agree. When you get into all the bonuses and the PPRs and the freaking awards, points for this, points for that, points for that, points flying all around the ball. I liked fantasy football leagues where at the end of the week, the highest point scorer had like 92 points, and that's more like what this league is. This game was 88-87. You know, now you will have some 130s, but you're never going to have the 198-162. You know, so. Food for thought. One more thing while we're kind of dancing around this subject of first week of the playoffs. What do you do in leagues to keep players entertained? Now, obviously, in a redraft league, the teams that don't make the playoffs, you're pretty much done. Do you have any leagues that are redraft that you award something to the consolation bracket? In my league, to keep the players kind of in there, but it's a dynasty, we award the buy-in back for the winner of the consolation bracket, which is the same as what the third place player gets.
I kind of like that. I don't do anything for consolation brackets. Up until we get into the playoffs, though, I do a weekly winner. So even if you're – and we pay out, I think, like 40 bucks a week. So if you are the last place team and you're not playing for anything, although we make the last place person pay for where the trophy goes next because we got people all around the country. So we have them pay for shipping and handling. But if you're second to last or whatever, you could still win that week and – you know, get the 40 bucks for the week or whatever it is. So I try to do it that way. I like the idea of the consolation bracket, but at the same time, the outcome is just the outcome.
Now,
I mean,
in a dynasty, I would rather play the consolation bracket for the draft pick. Like, the winner of the consolation bracket gets the first-round draft pick. Now, it usually ends up the winner of the consolation bracket a lot of times is the person who had the seventh seed. You know, it's the better team of those teams.
Sure.
But that's something you could do to prevent teams from tanking because I do have one of those in my dynasty league right now, too, who has been tanking for about 6 weeks. I mean, I just beat him this past week like 140 to freaking 75 in a PPR with three wide receivers. This cat only put up 75 points. He's clearly tanking, but teams do that.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I don't like it, and a lot of other people don't either, but he's going to get the first overall draft pick next year. So something you could do to prevent something like that is have the winner of the consolation bracket get the first draft pick the following year. But then it doesn't always go to the team that it should be, which is the truly worst team in the league that started all their players every week. So anyways, we move on to a told you so. BG, why are you telling me so this week?
I don't know. I'm real fired up about the whole PPR standard conversation.
It's a great discussion.
I know it gets the wheels turning.
We should do a second podcast and
absolutely
talk about this and take callers.
We're probably going to go long on this one because we went in all sorts of directions. But, all right, told you so. My ice picks, for the most part, were pretty good. Again, kind of like middle of the road type of stuff. Matt Breida, he only wound up with 5 carries for 6 yards. He did have 3 catches for 51 yards, so he got you your 3 points for you PPR people out there. But, you know, so he didn't crush you, but really wasn't that good. And like Bo mentioned, and even in this game, before the game, he aggravated his ankle injury, re-aggravated a pre-existing ankle injury, and now he's out this week. And he's someone you can just go ahead and drop regular league, regular season.
It doesn't look like
he's
going to get much play. I wish they would just go ahead and, if it's that serious, put him on IR.
Yeah,
so
just
know what
they're all
doing.
Done.
I have him in that league. In that same non-PPR league, after 5 transactions, you got to pay $5 per transaction. So Now I'm like, do I drop him and then try to pick him up 3 weeks from now when I, you know. And also, there's no IR spots, so I can't just stick them there. It's difficult.
You should have IR spots, though. People who don't have – you need IR spots. They're key.
Well, with an eight-week IR now in the NFL, I do agree with that, yeah. that you should have one in a redraft league. So, told you so, Tevin Campbell. Tevin – what was the Tevin Campbell song? It just left my brain. I probably could have sung it for you yesterday.
Dude, I know what you're talking about, but anyways.
Tevin Coleman for the Atlanta Falcons. 7 total touches netted 11 yards versus the Baltimore Ravens. Told you so.
Oh, dude, I mean, the Falcons-Ravens game was depressing, and yeah, we know
for
a lot of the 92.9 game listeners. Well, no, not me. I mean, I'm a Giants fan. Even if you're a Saints fan, just watching the game is depressing.
For the people that don't have NFL Sunday ticket that live in Atlanta and were forced to watch this game because CBS had the only game on at the time,
yeah,
that was depressing.
It was awful. Oh, it was tough. All right, told you so. Again, here we go with a little PPR situation. Carlos Hyde / TJ Yeldon. So Hyde and Yeldon combined for only 52 yards on 21 carries rushing. But TJ Yeldon wound up okay. I don't know how many people played TJ Yeldon, if you did, because he had 7 catches for 49 yards. But most people played Hyde, and he was awful.
So I told you so-ish. Told you to fire up Gus Edwards, Baltimore Ravens. So Edwards gets the volume. He gets the yardage. 21 rushes for 82 yards, does not find the end zone. So in a PPR league, he's going to get you 8.2 points, same as he does in a non-PPR league. So it's a great non-PPR play, Gus Edwards was. The only thing about Gus Edwards that you got to watch moving forward, and it's really all the Baltimore pass catchers, that there is no relevant Baltimore pass catcher.
No.
Not with Lamar Jackson at quarterback. You love Lamar Jackson and the floor that he brings with the yards that he's going to gain from rushing. You love Gus Edwards and the floor that he brings because he's going to get the workload, especially Alex Collins. Also, another player placed on IR over the weekend. None of them are going to catch passes. None of them are probably going to catch touchdowns.
Nope.
You know, you can maybe hope for Lamar Miller to throw Gus Edwards a touchdown. Maybe that works out for you, but he's not going to throw one to John Brown. He's not going to throw one to 15. So, Michael Crabtree. So, you know, you love the high floor for the Baltimore guys, the running back and the quarterback. You don't necessarily love them in PPR. You know, they're kind of touchdown dependent. So use that for what you will. If you're behind in a week and you need a high ceiling guy and it gets late to a Sunday or you're having to make a decision, I would probably go elsewhere if I was having to decide between these two guys.
All right, my final told you so. Again, kind of middle of the road. Didn't absolutely kill you, but didn't have a good game and is not a good football player except in short yardage situations. That's LeGarrette Blount, 16 carries, 61 yards. My biggest concern with the Lions is that for those who held on to Kerryon Johnson, which I did in a couple different leagues, I traded him in one, but he looked like one of those guys that was going to be really great down the home stretch. And if you're the Lions, I'm not really sure why you even play him rest of season. I mean,
you
kind of saw what you saw from him. He's clearly the future as far as the backfield goes for Detroit. They're not playing for anything, and the more games they lose, better draft pick they get. And with all that being said, and as much as I bashed LeGarrette Blount the last 2 weeks, he might have a decent game in Arizona because they're not a very good football team. And he's going to get – he did get 16 carries this game, and he got 16 carries last week. So the opportunity is going to be there.
There will be fantasy points scored in that Detroit Lions-Arizona Cardinals football game. It will be more than a 6-0 game.
Yeah. pray for that.
When the Cardinals and Colts that were 6-0 over the weekend.
It's
Colts-Jags.
Yes. Pray for your fantasy lives, though, if you're – banking on some Lion or some Cardinal out there.
So my last told you so, and I've been telling you so for about the last 6 weeks, Lamar Miller, run him on out there, 19 carries for 102 yards.
Why is he good?
He throws on a reception for 12 more yards for you there. Lamar Miller getting it done as an RB2.
Are we sure this is the same Lamar Miller? It's the same one?
It is, in fact. They
didn't
done
switch
DNA
him out?
Testing because Bill O'Brien did not, in fact,
is
himself
it the same Bill O'Brien?
Maybe not. Now, that I don't know if they've checked. It could be
nine in a row for them.
Could be an alien dressed up in a Bill O'Brien
suit. I still feel
like
they're going to find a way to lose in the first round. Anyways, we are going to take a quick break here on the 92.9 The Game Fantasy Football Podcast. Check us out, 92.9thegame.com. We'll be back with our fire and ice picks for this week. Welcome back to the 92.9thegame.com Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Brian Gephardt along with Bo Johnson. This is our favorite part every week, our fire and ice picks. We'll start off with our fire picks, and I'll have Bo lead us off here.
Where do you think I'm going this week with my fire picks? It's Lamar Miller. Lamar Miller and the Houston Texans have what should be a barn burner shootout, we're expecting, versus the Indianapolis Colts, a division game. Both teams vying for that first place spot in the division. Both teams want to win it. Let me give you some statistical information about the Indianapolis Colts rush defense since week eight. In week eight, they allowed 14.4 points to Jalen Richard. In week nine, they had a bye. In week 10, Fournette, 27.9 points. Now, in week 11, they played the Titans, and the Titans guy didn't do anything. Don't know which one of them it was. They didn't do crap. But just chalk that off as just it being the Titans guy, and it's their fault. Week 12, Kenyon freaking Drake, 26.6 points. Last week, week 13, T.J. Yeldon, in the absence of Leonard Fournette for punching a guy, T.J. Yeldon gets 13.6 points in a game where the Jacksonville Jaguars were shut out. All right, still manages to get 13.6 points, which is respectable in a flex spot. Run Lamar Miller out there as your RB2. Feel great about it versus the Indianapolis Colts.
I have no comment on Lamar Miller. Moving on.
You don't have to have a comment on Lamar Miller.
Well, I think we've gotten to the point where he's just so good this season that is he even worth a fire pick? You're playing him, right? You're just playing him, aren't you?
If I had I don't know, because if they played like the Ravens or the Saints,
yeah, that's
I would
true.
Probably think twice
that's true.
About it.
No, he's been great. He's been really good.
The biggest thing he's getting is volume. You know, the 20-25 carries a game is huge for a impact for a running back in fantasy football, you know.
100%. All right, my first fire pick, he's a guy I mentioned as a waiver wire pickup. He'll be in the waiver wire pickup again this week if he's out there still for some reason. Adam Humphries, I like to call him the future Patriots wide receiver. Little white dude out there for the Tampa Bay Bucks. He's now scored a touchdown in three straight games. He's becoming Jameis Winston's favorite target. He had 9 targets this past week, and he does have a nice matchup at home against the Saints this week. I expect him to find the end zone again, probably 60, 70-plus receiving yards, and he should be a really strong flex play for you this week.
He's playing out of the slot over there in Tampa Bay, mostly?
Yeah, they kind of move him all around the place, but he's just getting the ball.
Well, yeah, you got Deshaun and you got Mike Evans. I don't think Mike Evans plays out of the slot much. So the Saints do have trouble defending the slot. So I like that pick a lot. My next pick here is going to be on the waiver wire column, too, mainly because of the matchup this week. And that's going to be Chris Conley of the Kansas City Chiefs. I highly doubt that Chris Conley is even widely owned in fantasy football, and you definitely didn't get to the playoffs because of Chris Conley. He's just got a great matchup this week, and that's what we're trying to give you is a little bit of intel here. So the Baltimore Ravens are among the top three in the NFL defending perimeter receivers, all right? But they do struggle a lot versus slot receivers. The only caveat here is that Tyreek Hill has moved all around the field. He can play out of the slot. He can play out of the perimeter. So either they put Tyreek Hill on the perimeter where he's going to get Jimmy Smith. Now, can Tyreek Hill outrun Jimmy Smith? He sure as hell can. Well, they put Tyreek in the slot probably 35% of the times. So he does well there too. But if they put Tyreek in the slot, they're definitely not going to put Conley on the perimeter. So if you're needing a receiver this week out on your waiver wire, he'll probably be on. I'll mention again a little bit later in the show. Chris Conley should have a pretty good game here versus the Baltimore Ravens.
I like that call a lot. This game is going to be – I'm fascinated to see how this game goes because you've got this Baltimore Ravens offense that is coming out of like the 1960s where they might as well be running a wishbone. If you guys heard that noise, it's just emails coming on Knox's computer. He's a busy, important man here
very
at 92.9 in the game.
Busy man.
Anyways, but this Ravens, because they're going to want to control the clock, run the ball, and the Chiefs can score in a second, and they don't really have a running back anymore. So I'm fascinated to see how this game goes, but I do like the Conley.
Is that the irresistible force versus the immovable object type deal?
And
these are two
playoff teams as well. So it's going to be, this is an interesting game as far as seeding goes, because the Chargers are creeping up on the Chiefs there as well. They actually play the following week, but very interested to see how this game goes. And speaking of the Chargers, my second fire pick, Justin Jackson, he's the running back who emerged there in the second half. If you guys were watching Sunday Night Football, it came on real strong in that game. 8 carries, 63 yards, and a touchdown. He also added a catch for 19 yards. And I really love him in this matchup against the Bengals this week. There was a report that came out that Melvin Gordon might play on Sunday. I think it would be ridiculous if the Chargers were to play him in this game because I think they can win him against the Bengals at home with anybody in the backfield. You can bring out LT from the booth, and he'll come and get you 100 yards in this game. But I just love him this week, and I would be shocked if Melvin Gordon plays. So yeah, he's a top waiver priority pickup for me, and I think he's a really strong play this week against the
Given
Bengals.
Their opponent being the Cincinnati Bengals, I think you're probably right about Melvin Gordon. I think he probably is active and dresses on the sideline but does not see a whole lot of work. Now, they did come out and say that he will definitely be in there for Week 15.
Yeah.
So he's not droppable by any stretch of the imagination is Melvin Gordon, but I would not look for him to do a whole lot this week. You never know, though. My last fire pick is your boy, Dougie Fresh. Doug Baldwin versus the Minnesota Vikings. The Minnesota Vikings don't defend the slot very well, and they are bottom third in the NFL, the third worst team in the NFL over the last month in defending the slot. That's where Doug Baldwin plays, is out of the slot. I do love some Doug Baldwin this week versus the Minnesota Vikings, despite Dougie Fresh not having a very good season thus far.
Get him, Doug. Get him, Doug. I'm still in your corner, man. That's the one thing, and really in all fantasy sports, but especially like in football, I have an issue sometimes giving up on some of the old guys.
You got
who are
your
just,
guys, man.
I've seen him in the end zone too often.
Well, and then more often than not, the guys that we claim as our guys have come through for us.
Yeah.
You know, they have their downs, which is what Doug Baldwin's having this year, but you've had a lot of success with Doug Baldwin. It's hard to turn your back on
them. And the frustrating part with him is that Russell Wilson has been so good, and he's just been banged up. I mean, he just clearly hasn't been 100% at any point this year, and they've got a number of guys making plays for them. I'm going to go kind of off the beaten path here for my last fire pick. We typically don't go quarterbacks a lot with our picks, but I'm going to go with Baker Mayfield. He's been playing really well. The Panthers are reeling right now. I don't even know. I don't know if like Ron Rivera's on the hot seat or anything, but they were.
I would suspect that he probably is.
They were 6-2. They've lost 4 straight. Cam Newton looks like a completely different quarterback at this point in time. He's clearly injured to some degree, but I really like Baker Mayfield at home against the Panthers this week because the Browns are out there trying to prove a point, especially Baker Mayfield. I've liked him since day one, and I think he's a guy that you can play this week, and he'll get you a W.
The Carolina Panthers have successfully gone from being one game out of the NFC South to being 4 games back. If they lose and or the Saints win this week, if my math is correct, the Saints are going to clinch the NFC South this weekend. I don't know what's happened to him in the last month. Cam still got the skill set that he's had. He's got great receivers. Greg Olsen's out for the season again now with another foot injury. That's another player. But you didn't really rely on Greg Olsen for most of the season. You got CMC over there. To me, when you have a super talented offense – like the one here in Atlanta, but they can't score points, it's over there on the sidelines where something's going wrong. And I think that is probably what's going on. I think Ron Rivera is most definitely in the hot seat and probably loses a job if they don't make the playoffs this year. We were at one point a month ago, maybe 6 weeks, looking like there could be 3 teams again from the NFC South to make the playoffs.
Yep.
And it's just kind of falling off the rails for 2 of those teams. So my last we're into ice picks now. So I'm my first ice pick, I'm going to stay on that Seattle versus Minnesota game with another Seattle Seahawk, and that's going to be Tyler Lockett, simply because Tyler Lockett's going to get a nice, healthy helping of Xavier Rhodes this weekend, who did play this past week. And as I said and told you so, Josh Gordon did find the end zone but only had 3 receptions. I do believe that Josh Gordon's talent surpasses Tyler Lockett's with another week to get that hammy back to form. Now, you might check on Xavier Rhodes' status this week. If he, for some reason, injures himself or has a reoccurrence of the hamstring injury in practice, you know, it's very easy to get these guys' stats. Find you a league that has IDP players, and you can just search for Xavier Rhodes, and it'll give you updates for him. Or you can just Google it. Whatever.
What a great matchup there on Monday night.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Vikings, Seahawks, this is huge for the wild card, huge for seeding, and most of the Monday night games have been kind of meh so far this season, but that's going to be a really fun matchup. Yeah, that's one I'll go out of my way to make sure I watch the whole thing there on Monday
Xavier
night.
Yeah, Xavier Rhodes does shadow but does not travel into the slot, so that's going to mean he's going to get Tyler Lockett pretty much the whole game. So,
all right, so my first ice pick, or picks, if you will, are all of the Eagles. The Cowboys' defense has been playing really well. We've waited, what was it, like 35 minutes in. Do have to mention how they shut down your Saints last week. That was pretty impressive.
They did that. So did the officials. But
Oh, there it is. There it is. No, they, I mean, Cowboys played really, really well.
The defensive line really showed up versus the Saints.
They played,
if you can get that type of pressure on any team.
Exactly.
It's not just Drew Brees. You get that type of pressure on any team, they're not going to have a good game.
And Philly's had a pretty unreliable year as far as fantasy goes. Wentz has been pretty good. He's given you 20 points more weeks than he hasn't. But the way that this defense is playing for the Cowboys, I don't trust Jeffrey. I don't trust Tate.
Yeah.
Adams, unless he scores, Adams isn't going to have a good game either. If you have to play Wentz, I guess. But I've been playing – so in my main league, I've been playing Wentz all year. He's been my quarterback. pretty much the whole season as soon as he came back. But I picked up Dak a couple weeks ago, and I saw his home stretch kind of schedule, and I think I'm going to roll with Dak over Wentz, and I don't even think it's that hard of a decision this week, but I would try to sit. I mean, if you can sit Wentz and if you can sit all these other Eagles, I would go ahead and do so.
So I actually am going to start Dak this week over Kirk Cousins, and I'm going to start Dak probably the next few weeks. They've got Philly this week, then the Colts, whose pass defense really doesn't scare you. And then if you have a Week 16 Super Bowl, the Dallas Cowboys get the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So we told you this actually 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I picked up Dak in like 3 or 4 teams.
Yep.
The Cowboys have a very soft, as far as the pass game goes, as far as Dak and Amari Cooper are going to go, very soft playoff schedule looking forward.
And
so,
Dak's been at that point now where he's getting you a nice floor. He probably won't light it up too much for you, but he's not going to burn you like some of these other quarterbacks might.
So my next ice pick. Now, as fun as it was to go out there and steal Spencer Ware from the rest of your league mates, like I was able to do in like 5 or 6 leagues, because as soon as the information dropped on Kareem Hunt having a video out there, I went and picked up Spencer Ware. I didn't wait on him to be suspended. I didn't wait on him to be benched. As soon as there was a video, you knew something was going to happen. If not this week, the next. Spencer Ware had a great game over this past week. I do not expect the same for him. This week, he's playing the Baltimore Ravens. Rewind the podcast real fast and go back to why I had Tevin Coleman on the ice list last week, and you're going to find out why I don't really like Spencer Ware as a play this week. But to keep you from doing that, it was 11 touches for like, let's see, told you so. 7 touches for 11 yards. That's what the Ravens held Tevin Coleman for. So I don't really like Spencer Ware is a much better running back than Tevin Coleman is. Let us not forget that Spencer Ware was hurt last year, and he had a great season 2 years ago. I'd love to see how that bold prediction turns out with me saying Spencer Ware was going to have more fantasy points at the end of the season than Kareem Hunt. I think it's a little bit too late in the season for Spencer Ware to catch him, but I don't like him this week. Spencer Ware, after this week running forward, I do like him out there, though.
This could be a terrible call. I'm going to stick in the same game. And we talked a few minutes ago about the interesting and contrasting styles, and we know that the Chiefs don't have a good defense, but I just don't like Gus Edwards and or Lamar Jackson this week. That's going to be their offense. They're going to try to do it. I just think the Chiefs are going to be able to score early in this game, and I could see the Chiefs getting up, you know, a touchdown or two. I could see if he's even active, Flacco coming into this game somewhere in like the second or third quarter.
And if they fall behind, that's what they're going to have to do.
And I think that might happen. And I think deep down, Harbaugh and the rest of this crew, Lamar Jackson is probably the future of this team, but I think they still think that their best bet is rolling with Flacco.
In a shootout, it very well might be.
Yeah, and I think that's what's going to wind up happening in this game. And Gus Edwards, to be honest with you, I mean, we talked about him a couple weeks ago. Stat-wise, he's there. He's getting the opportunity. Alex Collins going on the IR. But even against the Falcons, he looks slow. Like, he's a slow running back. He's kind of that plodding type. They're both going to give you a decent floor, but if you're expecting them to win you the week, I don't think either of these guys are going to get it done.
If there ever was one, this is a definite game flow.
Yeah.
Matchup.
100%.
If the Baltimore Ravens can come out and get a couple stops versus Kansas City Chiefs, they will be able to run the ball. If Kansas City Chiefs come out on their first possession and Tyreek Hill goes for a 74-yard touchdown and just crushes the hopes and dreams of the Baltimore secondary, they can probably keep piling on. You never want game flow to determine any fantasy player, especially in the playoffs. So I kind of agree with you there with both Gus Edwards and Lamar Jackson. See if you've got something better on your bench. If you don't and you want to go with the potential ceiling for Lamar Jackson, you could see it here. They could have a good game. If their defense comes through in the first quarter versus Kansas City Chiefs offense, and it could, the Kansas City Chiefs defense will give up the yards. But if Baltimore goes to having to throw the ball and making quick scores, I don't think that's within the realm of the game of Lamar Jackson yet.
So. And I think this is one of those games where, and this is typically everybody, you know, we all make fun of Andy Reid, and he usually burns fantasy owners at some point in the playoffs, this 14, 15, 16, when games matter. But I think this is one of those games, if he has some tricks up his sleeve, because they will shut down the run. I like your call on having Spencer Ware as an ice pick, but I like the idea of Conley having a big game and Kelsey having a big game and these wide receivers really stepping up for the Chiefs. And I could just see this game. I could just look up and it's 14-0 with 2 minutes to go in the first quarter, then all of a sudden, are you still going to be running the ball 30, 40-plus times combined with Gus Edwards and Lamar Jackson? So really, really interested. It's one of the more fascinating games all season long and really that I can remember in the regular season just to see how it turns out.
So my last ice pick is going to be a guy that I've been in very big favor of this this season. And that's going to be Tyler Boyd of the Cincinnati Bengals. They're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh Steelers, like the first half of the season, had one of the softest secondaries in the league. Over the past month, though, they have gotten a lot better. Now, I know all about the second half of Sunday's game. If you watch this Steelers-Chargers game on Sunday, it was a night game, wasn't it? You had to watch
it. Yeah, Sunday night. You had to watch it. You weren't doing anything else.
All about the Steelers in the first half. All about the Chargers in the second half. And Keenan Allen went off in the second half. Keenan Allen does play out of the slot for the San Diego Chargers, and he did have great success, but I wouldn't rely on that. Tyler Boyd is not Keenan Allen. And here's some fantasy analysis for you folks. Jeff Driskel is not Phillip Rivers.
No.
Boom.
That's breaking it down right there. You don't get that analysis
only here
anywhere
on the Fantasy Football Podcast on 929thegame.com.
By the way, Phillip Rivers, I mean, not that I'm the first one to bring this up, sneaky MVP candidate, though. He's right. He after Mahomes. And
are we talking fantasy
others,
MVP or NFL MVP?
NFL MVP.
Okay,
he's
like
right there.
It.
They're 9-3, and he's balling right now. Okay, my last ice pick, similar to you, someone that I've liked all year, but I'm really just starting to give up on, and especially if Mitchell Trubisky isn't playing this week, Jordan Howard, that is. He's just been really mediocre, and they're going up against the Rams, and that is a Sunday night game this week. And the Rams have been pretty decent against the run. I just, especially, again, if Mitchell Trubisky is not playing in this game, I would find a way to try to bench Jordan Howard. I might have to play him just out of necessity in one league, but if you can get away from him, unless he finds the end zone, I don't think he's going to have a good week.
I like that call. This should be a very good game here. I'm not really looking forward to it. Let's see. So I have some Todd Gurley shares. I don't like Todd Gurley going up against the Bears defense.
No.
All right, now it's Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
So I just think that his ceiling's
going to be a little bit. He'll catch.
I have a first round bye with one team that I have Todd Gurley on. Then I had to think about it, and in my other team that I have Todd Gurley on, I'm actually having to play the team who won the Super Bowl 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. So should be a good matchup there. Not looking forward to see Todd Gurley going up against the Bears defense, but I mean I have Goff on the same team, and I do believe that Goff can tear it up versus the Bears secondary too. So,
all right, before we get out of here, we're going to give you some of our waiver wire pickups. And we've been kind of talking a lot about these guys.
You've heard all the names.
Pretty much all the names that we've said. But Justin Jackson, if he's out there, to me, he's the number one guy. You know, Jalen Samuel, Jeff Wilson Jr., those guys we'll talk about here in a sec as well. But Justin Jackson, I just feel like he's going to have a big week. I think they're going to almost kind of want – the Chargers are going to want to see, like, what this kid's all about for next year and beyond. And, again – Melvin Gordon might dress. I think it's dumb if he does. I think they should rest him, make sure he's healthy for the home stretch there. But love Justin Jackson against the Bengals this week.
So I like that call. And Jalen Samuels, Pittsburgh Steelers, next man up. He is the coming into the season, I guess, or in training camp, the third string running back. He will get the work for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And they have the
Oakland Raiders.
Las Vegas, Los Angeles. I was kind of trying to figure
the
out.
The Nomad Raiders.
Yes.
The
Oakland
gatherers.
Raiders, who are in the bottom third in the NFL in run defense and just honestly just a crappy team. So Jalen Samuels is going to get some work this weekend. Go ahead out there and pick him up off your waiver wire.
Yeah, the thing, too, about Samuel, the tight end eligibility and some. I know he's in Yahoo, which if you can get him a starting running back and put him in as a tight end this week against the Raiders, you talk about a fantasy win right there. That's huge if you can do that. Adam Humphries, he's the next guy I got on the list here. I mentioned him as a fire play this week. He should be owned in most leagues, but if he's still out there for some reason, really good play this week. Jeff Wilson Jr., he's a guy, the 49ers running back, especially PPR leagues. He should get a lot of dump-off passes, that type of thing. Any other names you got written down there, Bo?
Dante Pettis also for the 49ers should have a pretty good game this week. And then Chris Conley, man, who I told you – and the only reason I'm saying this, there has been no injuries or anything like that for the Kansas City Chiefs. There was a firing, but Chris Conley should have a great matchup. He plays in the slot almost exclusively, and they're playing against – who is it, Baltimore? Baltimore gives up a lot of yards and touchdowns into the slot position.
Yeah, Dante Pettis is a guy. He's come on strong the last couple weeks, and he's – you know, pretty much the number one wide receiver for the 49ers right now. Garcon not playing. Goodwin should be coming back this week, but Mullins is kind of a dump off guy, you know, quick passes here and there, and Pettis is that type of receiver. So he's a guy that's going to give you a strong floor, I think, this week. Couple defenses I want to mention before we get out of here. The ones that I have written down. Pittsburgh, they're at Oakland, coming off a loss. Love this matchup for Pittsburgh. L.A. Chargers at home against the Bengals. Love that matchup. Yep. And if they're still out there in a couple leagues, which they might, because I think Dallas was dropped in a lot of leagues because they were playing the Saints, pick them up. They've got the Eagles at home.
Also love, if you can get your hands on them through maybe a late-season trade or something like that, they're probably owned. But the Denver Broncos defense has a very cake matchup for the entirety of the fantasy playoffs. So if they're out there, I doubt they are. Just throwing that little tidbit out there at you.
What a story that would be if the Broncos could find a way to run the table, because they were 4-6, dead in the water, and they've been rolling a little bit. And 9-7 might get you in the playoffs there in the AFC.
Now, and, you know, one last thing. You brought up the Los Angeles Chargers and their playoff run that they're about to try to go on, because they're going to make the playoffs. You know, it was before the season started that somebody from USA Today picked the Chargers losing to the Falcons in Super Bowl 53 in Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. And everybody's like, what? The Chargers making the Super Bowl? Well, that's just mud on everybody, including me, because I thought the Falcons had a legit chance. So did everybody before, you know, a myriad of injuries happened. Lo and behold, the Chargers are right there, and they could have a chance.
I was one of the people. It was a semi-popular pick to have the two LA teams. That was my – I tweeted it out. Okay. I like Chargers and Rams before the season started, so – we'll see how that goes, but I've always been a Phillip Rivers guy. It's a weird thing. I'm a Giants fan, but the trade and the whole thing, I just think he's an underrated player.
He's probably the most underrated quarterback of our generation.
Yeah, and I'd like to see him go on a run, especially with like no fan base behind him right now, because they're another group that, which makes no sense because they're a really exciting
playing
team.
Out of like the Staples field or
StubHub, SeatGeek Arena, who knows what it is. But anyways, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the 92.9 The Game Fantasy Football Podcast. Next week, we'll recap the first week of the playoffs. We'll talk about those that are heading into the semifinals or the first week of the playoffs if you're in a league with four teams in the playoffs. So make sure you get all these guys that we told you about. Believe in our fire and ice picks, and we'll talk to you next week.
Cheers.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.